Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Signs and Seasons. This is Minister Gabriel Emmack and my co-host, Sister Samara Kabushi. And I want to
Good evening, everyone.
We want to thank you for tuning into our edition of Signs and Seasons on this very, very special day, Memorial Day. We want to talk to you today about this is a very vital issue, life after death, the transition that we've called death. This celebration, incidentally, began in Waterloo, New York, on May 5th, 1865, when a local pharmacist mentioned that while it was good to remember living veterans, it was also good if we could take the time to think about and show respect for those who had passed on. And the way they remembered was, of course, by placing flowers on the graves of the living. And they felt that it would be good then to also do the same with those who had passed on. And this gentleman, Henry C. Wells, he suggested that we show as much respect and honor for those who had passed on to the other side. The day has changed, though. The day has changed from May 5th, and it was once put on May 17th, and then finally it went to May 30th. And when it went on to May 30th, it was suggested that May 30th be selected as a day because of the flower blooming, and that in the various parts of the world that was a good time because flowers would begin to bloom. Well, obviously, Memorial Day celebrations and observations have changed quite a bit since then. Their humble origins 147 plus years ago have changed. And so we find that to many people, the observances of Memorial Day is a time upon which all near and dear, family and friends are remembered. The question then arises, how do Memorial Day celebrations help us up living? As students in the School of Life, we want to realize that the thing we need to do then is we always need to find out how a particular activity is helping us, because we're in school 24/7. And so being that we're in school 24/7, then we want to make sure that everything that we do is actually contributing, is a contributing factor to our evolution, our growth and development. And so what we want to do today then is we want to explore. We want to ask ourselves. We want to evaluate every activity in which we participate and determine how and what is it contribute to our growth and development. So we want to explore some of the ways in which Memorial Day celebrations assist the deceased, enhance the way we live, how we leave the planet when we make our transition, and how we want others to remember us. Once again, we want to assist the deceased, enhance the way we live, how we leave the planet, and how we want others to remember. Now, we have a segment of the population that says, oh, when you're dead, you're done. No, that's not really true. And we have much evidence of that, that we continue to grow and evolve when you leave this physical organism. The physical organism is a shell. And so when we leave here, we go on to another realm of existence and continue to work on our growth and development. So then, how can we assist the deceased? Well, we can assist the deceased by giving thanks and praise for all the good they shared with us. Realizes that this enhances their karmic account for those who are not familiar with that word, how our practicing the good that they've left with us, how that will continue to help them in their growth on the other side, you see? Because we're all attached through this wireless network of energy. You know, if you've ever heard about the string theory, everything in the universe, in the solar system, in the galaxy, is connected through thin threads. And so whatever you and I do goes back down that line, whether it's for good or not good, and affects our ancestors. We're told perhaps even 100 generations back. And so whatever we are doing, for better or worse, it is affecting our ancestors. So this is how we can assist the deceased. If we really, really want to pay homage to them, we want to ask ourselves, what is it that this particular person has done that contributed to my growth and development? Goodness gracious, we all have so many things that we do, we make that are not good for our growth and development. So we want to ask ourselves, for those who today, the deceased, our parents who may be deceased, friends and relatives, other relatives, that is, how did they influence our growth in a positive way? And the other thing that came to my mind to share with you today is to remind you that what we need to do is to... Great, Doug, that sounds really very nice. I'm talking to our technician on the music in the background. Thank you, Doug. And that music we will be talking to you about, that's Andreas. That's Geometries and Reflections, ParadiseMusic.com. What we want to do here is we want to remember that a lot of the mourning we have is lesser than detachment when someone leaves the planet. And we want to realize that there is no such thing as death. Someone is, I need you to not to move the mic. It's coming across in static. So what I want you to do, to your brothers and sisters, is to remember that the grandfather that we may be mourning, the sister or brother that we may be lamenting about is actually maybe a nephew or a niece or someone that's been reborn in our family line. And so often we, you know, the person that we're crying about and lamenting every memorial day or every now and then that we wish they were here, they are here. They come back as our nieces, our nephews. And so what we want to do is keep that in mind. And know that life is a continuum, that there is no such thing as death. I want to send a special greeting out right now that I mentioned to mention to you earlier. And that goes out to Sister Vivian Nash, very brave, powerful soul who went to the other side yesterday. See, I want you, brothers and sisters, to understand that taking death, or what we call death, is like taking off a garment. Nothing changes. What you may want to understand also is that not only does nothing change, the person's memory, they're right here with us. And so you may also want to realize that crying, doing a lot of tantrums, a lot of grieving makes it difficult for the departing soul. Imagine yourself trying to leave for work and you have your children screaming and hollering, throwing tantrums, or someone, some beloved, and this makes it difficult for you to go on your way. And so the ancients tell us all the time, you know, grieve, Jeremiah in the Bible, grieve not for the dead. Grieve for those people, he said, that are here on the planet now and who are breaking spiritual laws and principles and preparing a sad, painful departure for themselves. You're listening to Signs and Seasons with Minister Gabriel Amlat on this Memorial Day, if you just tuned in. And we're talking about the celebration of Memorial Day, that it is a farewell, it is a transition in which the person is actually moving into another space, and as real as this one here. And that if we really want to celebrate their departure and wish them well, we want to focus on the good that they brought into our lives. So we covered, we're talking about assisting the deceased. Give thanks and praise for all the good they shared with us. No matter how unpleasant some of the situations may be, there is something, that some example that they set that was positive. Realize that our thinking of them well enhances their karmic account, blesses their soul, then enhance our existence. Use the light that these relatives and friends and dear ones shared with us. Take some time today and think about all the positive things that we learned from them. You see, everyone in our family and in our association is actually a teacher. And as unpleasant as some of these lessons may be, they are lessons nevertheless. And so they are placed on our path for us to work out karmic accounts, or to work out the laws of give and take. We give, we receive. They give, they receive. We want to look at the things that we saw in their personalities that they could have done better. Pray that they have their learning while they're on the other side. And pray that we have the strength and wisdom to emanate the conduct that we would have desired for them to. We want to prepare for our transition. Study. Have something to take with us. There is a very important teaching about life after death. And the teaching explains to us that when you go to the other side, you have to take things with you as you do on every other trip, journey. So Jesus says to Christians and everyone in general, store up treasures in heaven. Because if you're an unsocial person, if we have a lot of anger and hate and a lot of addictions, you see? So here we are on the other side with these addictions, with these negative feelings, and we're still living with them. The whole concept of hell is living in our pain on the other side. They tell us that when you leave the physical form, whatever pain you have inflicted on anyone or anyone they come in contact with, you stand there with the angel of light on the other side, and you have to experience all of those pains. You have to experience all of the trauma that you are going through. Okay? So please understand that all the trauma that we think we're getting away with, it's just like Jesus said to those that were with him when he was crucified, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we don't realize that whatever we do to anyone else that causes them pain, or that or affected other people that they came in contact with, we have to feel all of that. And so these are things to think about on Memorial Day. Many of us are just out picnicking and frolicking, having a great time, but not really understanding the true significance of this experience. Then, this is preparation. Storing up treasures in the higher spiritual realms. Also, are you a sociable person? Then become one in some way. Do we have some talents? Do we have some intellectual, some emotional equipment that we're taking with us? Can we visualize? Because they tell us that when you go to the other side, that you furnish your dwelling, you furnish the place where you're going to be residing through your imagination. So if you do not have an imagination, then you'll be in a place with not much furniture. Also understand that when we leave this physical form, whatever addictions we have, you have a cigarette addiction, some other kind of addiction, some other kind of physical craving, now you're on the other side without with the craving, but without the physical organism to satisfy those cravings. That's why my teacher, Kirpal Singh, would say, and as the other adepts would tell us, think about your death every day. Not in a morbid sense, but act as if the day that you're here now may be your last day. And so I'm not going to make up to my cousin or my brother or my sister or my mate next week, next time I see them. No, I'm going to do all that I can to do it now. Because millions of people passed on today that went to sleep last night with the belief, with the thought that they were going to be here. They didn't wait. They woke up this morning on the other side. Stop taking life for granted. Let Memorial Day, let funerals remind you that this may be your last day in this lifetime on the planet. And you don't change, they tell us on the other side. If you've ever had an out-of-body experience, as I have and some of our other listeners, you're just the same person on the other side without a body. The masters explained to us that the gift of life, it is a golden opportunity to be in a human form. Who knows when we'll get another one. So relish every moment of it and don't take it for granted. Send your message. People continue to call when I'm on the air. Okay. Enhance, prepare for our trend. Visualize then how and what we want to be and remember it for. Stop today in the midst of all activity and say, Memorial Day. How do I want to be remembered when I pass? Do I want to be remembered as a credit to the world, to my family, to my race? How do I want to be remembered? Let me begin to visualize that, and let me begin to take life more serious. Acquire practical knowledge of spiritual laws and principles. That is very, very important, especially laws, let's say, of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect and reincarnation. Both of these give logical explanations for instant attractions to people and places we've never been or remember having been before. And Sister Samara and I are going to, because this is such a bad subject, we're going to be talking about it. We're going to probably do an extension of it in the next couple of weeks or so to enhance our listeners' understanding of it. So now, what we also want you to be able to think about is to understand that deja vu is a very real example of reincarnation. Our like or dislike for total strangers with no apparent reason is another example of past life experiences. Natal conditions, innate talents and abilities, birth defects, opulence or poverty, the race, the family or gender in which we are born are also governed by cosmic laws and principles. Much of our lives would be so much easier, and we would be so much more productive if we begin to understand spiritual laws and principles and realize that whatever we experience, there is some law, there is something that we have done, positive or not positive, to have that experience. Being so well acquainted with astrology and the other metaphysical sciences, it's obvious. Every time I see something happen in the paper and I look at the energy that this person was walking with, I know right away, you can see right away what drew that situation to that individual. How could we expect to have a smooth life? It's like a person riding down the road with no understanding whatsoever of traffic laws or signs and symbols, who gets stopped every half hour or more than that, has all kinds of problems because it has no understanding of the laws of the road. So we are not conscious of that. We have these degrees and accreditations for this worldly activity, this worldly achievement, but we do not understand its natural and spiritual laws and principles. So this is how we can prepare ourselves to have a better life now for those whom we care about, and we can also, of course, assist others whom we love. Or excuse me for this, whom we say we love. Viewing life through the lens of spiritual laws and principles enables us to see and appreciate the wisdom and the patience of a loving Creator. A Creator who blesses us, you see, with unlimited potentials and endless opportunities to become all we can be. We, of course, could not acquire the perfection that Jesus said we should perfect. Not at all. Understand that. Understand that we, each of us, is here, as Jesus says, and I talk from the Christian Bible because I come up from that tradition, but all the teachers are saying the same thing, that be ye perfect as your Father in heaven. So perfection is our goal. So we cannot achieve that perfection in one lifetime. Look how long it takes us to give up one little teeny habit that just dogs our footsteps. So we have many lifetimes to do that. The metaphysical definition of sin, for example, is to miss the mark, is to fall short of divine love. God does not expect us to get this right in one lifetime. There is some there's a lot of movement in the background, so if whoever it is can mute their mic or put something over their mic. And so now, falling short of divine law is for the most part due to ignorance and lack of understanding. Lacking understanding of the creative powers of thoughts and words are what causes most people to miss the mark. Miss the mark. You know, Sister Samara was giving us some information on health in the last couple of weeks. And did you know that the word sin means to miss the mark? And you remember each time that Jesus healed someone, he would say, go and sin no more. And so when we look around us at the people who we see dying, and many instances bragging about how many operations they had their hip replaced, they had their kneecaps torn out. Come on, please. All you're doing is bragging about your lack of understanding of your violations. The laws of mentalism in speech are least understood and most violated of all spiritual laws and principles. And so not understanding how to apply those laws and principles, we find ourselves in trouble time and time again. And so when we see in the beginning was the Word, that does not just apply to us. That applies to the creation of the cosmos, rather. It applies to everything that we say. Sister Samara, would you give us the 800 number so people who want to call in can call in? The 800 number.
Yes, Minister Amlak. It's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. 008.
Thank you, Sister Samara. Sister Samara is the power behind the throne. Thank you, dear mother. Thank you very much. Okay, you can hear it in her voice. All right, so Isaiah says, my word shall not return to me void. It reminds us that those who can hear, that every word we send forth from our mouths and minds returns with the fruit of its kind. So we have many people in just, oh, you're so crazy. They don't know, they just cursed you. Whatever that sends out, that's not a positive energy that we want to say to someone. So as the elders used to say, watch your mouth. Don't say or think anything you do not want to create in your life or the life of others. And I'm laughing because I'm sure I make errors too. And I have people around me that will remind me, okay, good. But remember now, the universe is not. No distinction is made between what we say in jest or that which is spoken in a serious frame of mind. All thoughts and words are creative. Learning to utilize our creative energies in a conscious and progressive manner is mandatory for those who want to liberate themselves from conditions of pain, lack, and limitation. You know what? We can also look at death at 522 in the sunny California. We can also begin to understand that however we want to show our love for our ancestors and those today who have passed on, however we're living our lives, that is the best way. That is the best ancestor worship. Because we're like someone who went on a journey. Let's say some people have come here to America, and they've come here on the funds of their family, hoping that later when they got themselves together, perhaps they would send for other family members. So we are bought with a price, as the scriptures say. And so whatever talents and abilities you have, the expression and development of them have a lot to do with the genes that we inherited. So let's remember, my dad was a great singer. I got some of my singing talent from my dad. My mom was a very persistent individual. She was also into writing, so some of those talents came to me from her. So we can sit back and see all of the things that we in our family line that have had an effect on us. Lastly, learning to utilize our creative energies in a conscious and progressive manner is mandatory for those who want to liberate themselves from conditions of pain, of lack, and limitation. One of the greatest abuses of our creative resources, encouraged by so-called experts, is through our normal approach to the sexual experience, which we're going to talk more about in the weeks and months that follow. Our goal today was to enhance our understanding of Memorial Day. What is the constructive way in which we can celebrate this occasion that was at first meant to place flowers to worship and honor those who have the deceased? Well, we can do that because that was a way of saying that we hope that the fragrance of the flowers, that experience continues to allow you to blossom and flourish. Well, if you have grandchildren, if you have people around you that have young people that are still growing and blossoming, then you can do what you can to help these souls to blossom and grow. We can give thanks for all the heroic deeds committed by the heroes and sheroes that have gone on to the other side. You're listening to Signs and Seasons at 525 in sunny California, and we are thanking you for remembering to listen to BBS Radio. We're listening in the background to Andreas, Geometries and Reflections. That's wonderful. Geometries represent and shapes the mathematics of life. And reflecting on all those beautiful things that the people on the other side have left with us. Not mourning, you see, because there's nothing to mourn. We often go into the good old days instead of thinking about the great new days. So now, we are going to, in this next half hour, we're going to listen to the wisdom coming from Sister Samara Baruchi, my talented co-host. And we are then going to close with some more words of wisdom on the constructive way of dealing with Memorial Day. And we are going to open the phone, hopefully for those who want to tune in and to call in and get a profile on their energy pattern. So we're going to take a minute or two intermission with Doug in the background with the music. And Andreas, Geometries and Reflections, and hope that you will make some reflections on what we're saying today. So we'll be back in 1 minute. 1 minute. We can turn the music up just a little bit louder, Doug, so we can reflect on those beautiful chords that Andreas is playing. That's wonderful. Thank you. Someone's typing in the background. Okay, we are just about ready now. Sister Samar Barucci is here with us, and she's going to enhance what we've been talking about our theme today, the Memorial Day observances, rather. Sister Samara, thank you for...
Hi, Minister Amlak. It's wonderful today, and... I will be discussing reincarnation.
That's a great topic.
It's a great topic. And I think next week we should add karma and all its sister aspects, as in dharma and maya, to give an explanation. So reincarnation. Reincarnation... is the religious or philosophical belief that the soul or spirit, if the music could be just a bit softer, that would be great. The philosophical belief that the soul or spirit, after biological death, begins a new life in a new body that may be human or, there's some questions, it could be an animal or spiritual, depending on the moral quality of the previous life's actions. This doctrine is a central tenet of the Indian religion and is a belief that was held by such historical figures as Pythagoras, Plato, and Socrates. I'm just adjusting myself to the music a little bit. It is also a common belief of many religions and societies around in the world, in such places as Siberia, West Africa, North America, and Australia. There are many societies that believe in reincarnation. Although majority of the sects within Judaism, Christianity, and Islam do not believe that individuals reincarnate, particular groups within these religions do refer to reincarnation. These groups include the mainstream followers of Kabbalah, the Shiites, Druids, and Rosicrucians. In recent decades, many Europeans and North Americans have developed a deeper interest in reincarnation. So we would like to address that today. Okay. Have you ever asked yourself why there should be such a difference between one human lot and another? Oh, by the way, I'll be reading from one of my wonderful teachers who are no longer here in physical form. His book, Emmett Fox, and he has a fantastic poem. the imprisoned splendor. Truth is within ourselves. It takes no rise from outward things. Whatever you may believe, truth is an inmost center in us all. Where truth abides in fullness and around, wall upon wall, the gross flesh hems it in. This perfect, clear perfection, which is truth, a baffling and pervasive carnal mesh binds it and makes all arrow. And to know, rather, consists in opening out a way whence the imprisoned splendor may escape, than in effecting entry for a light supposed to be without. And that's a poem by Browning. And it's simply saying that within us is a deep understanding. The answer to all of that we seek is within us. And we constantly spend time looking without. And we will not find the answer outside. So reincarnation. Have you ever asked yourself why there should be such a difference between one human lot and another? Have you ever wondered why some people seem to be so happy and fortunate in their lives, why others appear to undergo so much undeserved suffering? I know I have. I'm sure you have, because only a very selfish or a very thoughtless person could fail to be challenged sooner or later by this problem. Why is one person so well placed in life, having apparently everything done for him or her, been born into a nice family, carefully brought up, given every advantage that money and culture can confer, sent to good schools, and launched into life with every advantage? Why is another boy or girl born into very difficult circumstances, where it is all but impossible to make any advance in life? Why is one child born handicapped or born blind or born with some horrible disease, while another child arrives in this world with a strong, clear, healthy little body ready to grow up well and sturdy? Why does one child reach manhood or womanhood and live to a ripe old age, whereas another child is born and after only a few weeks or a few months or even a few years, dies without seemingly having lived to any purpose? In a certain old country churchyard, there is a tombstone dating from the 17th century. It marks the grave of an infant who died after 3 weeks. And the epitaph reads, "Since so soon done, why was I begun?" And indeed, the question is an extremely searching one. Such questions call urgently for an answer. If we are to believe in the existence of God and in a universe governed by law and order, to the honest and fearless soul, the problem of the inequity of humanity lies in one that clamors for solution. Men and women are not born free and equal. They are created free and equal, but they are not born so. The Declaration of Independence does not say that men are born free and equal. It says that they are created so, which is quite a difference. It's a huge difference. Men and women are not born free and equal, but start this life house in a handicapped race. No two bearing an equal burden. Now, why should this be if indeed God is love? And if God is just, and if God is all powerful? Well, the answer is that this life that you're living today is not the only life, and that it cannot be understood when judged by itself. The answer is that you have lived before. Not once, but many, many times. And that in the course of these many lives, you have taught and said and done all sorts of things, good and bad. and that the circumstances into which you were born are but the natural outcome of the way in which you have lived and comported yourself in your former lives. You are reaping today, for good or evil, the results of the seeds that you have sown during these many previous lives. The Bible says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And that text states the truth, and it cannot be made to mean anything else. You who read these words have lived many, many times before. I'm reading it for you today. In different ages, in different conditions, under different skies, and in different civilizations. Many times you've been a man, and many times you've been a woman. You've probably been very rich and very poor, and probably you have sometimes been rightly placed in the highly placed in the world, and sometimes your place has been lowly. Some of those who are at the bottom of our social ladder today have walked the earth as kings and presidents and generals and admirals and high priests and priestesses, and some who now sit in the seats of the mighty, surrounded by pomp and circumstance, have toiled as simple peasants in days gone by, pulled at the oar of a galley or worn the chains of the slave. And you yourself, in future ages, centuries from now, very likely will return to this earth planet and be born again as a babe in some family and grow up and probably marry and live out another life. And the conditions under which you start that life will be the outcome of the lives you have already lived. But most particularly, will they be the outcome of the life which you're living at the present time? That, briefly, is the story of the life of man and woman. What is customarily called a lifetime is really but a comparatively brief day in a long, long life. This is the glorious truth, and it is the most wonderful and beautiful thing that you could ever discover. It is the door of liberation. It is your charter of freedom, your passport to fulfillment of life. It means nothing less than that your destiny is in your own hands, and that you may determine that destiny, that you may really make your future life beginning today. You may really make your future life beginning today. The sort of things that you wish it to be. So your life begins today, in this moment. And I will stop there. And that is the first few pages of Reincarnation by one of the great minds. I would venture to say one of the greatest minds, Emmett Fox. When I read much of his books, much of his work, I had a series of 7 books. The Sermon on the Mount is one of my favorites. And this particular one is known as Power Through Constructive Thinking. Emmett Fox, one of the most powerful minds on the planet, because he has taken what is difficult to understand and simplified to its basic foundational level so that everyone who wishes to know may have an answer. At least one way, another way of looking at their life and exploring if it's true for them. So that's my sharing today on reincarnation.
Sister Samara, thank you so very, very much. One of the important things about this presentation is that people should understand that Christianity is a cosmic religion. It's based on cosmic laws and principles. And so, you know, that presentation from Emmett Fox is very, very, very appropriate. So thank you once again. So we're here now at 5:42, and we had someone call in who wanted to profile. Are they on the line? Hello? Samara?
Yes.
Did you say there's someone on the line? No?
I am not sure. Oh, I know okay. A number of people called in today, and we had to get them a different number. I'm not sure if they had questions.
Yeah, would you give out the
but numbers? What I would like to Yes, I can. The number is, the toll-free number for U.S. and Canada is 888-627-6008. And in case the dial-in number for your cell phone's not working today, or you may call 530-413-4522. And another number, 530-413-5011. But the toll-free number again, 888-627-6008. And if you've got any questions you'd like Minister Amlak to answer, or myself on reincarnation and life after death, we're ready. I believe in reincarnation because as a hypnotherapist, I have regressed, and I have seen and I have come to remember some of my lives, and it actually is a liberation to know that you exist beyond the body, beyond the race that you are in, that you've been male and female. In my life I have discovered that I've been male, female, I've been Russian, I've been Chinese, I've been black, I've been white, and I've definitely done some things that I'm not proud of.
and we also want to remind our listeners that many of our relationships, we have been together before, and many times Yes. We know we've been together with that person before.
Well, we've been together before.
Several times, huh?
Yes. Several times, yes.
Right, and we're doing it at a high level at this time, hopefully.
We found each other again, and we are going to, conclude what we started.
Yes, and I'm really grateful for that opportunity. The thing we wanted, you see, brothers and sisters, as Sister Samara and I are reminding us is that. Reminding ourselves and you is that we have an opportunity to improve on the past. Each time that we come together, we can take it to a higher level. And that's the wonderful thing about it. I wanted to give some axioms from the Kabbalion. And the Grind, that wonderful book by three initiates, with many of us. Samara, you've looked at that book, right?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, of the Kabbalion by three initiates. That was one of my first books. And it says, the lips of wisdom are closed except to the ears of understanding. And you see, sometimes the person who we want to, that nowadays the big cliche is soulmate. But what we don't often understand is that in many instances, well, soulmate just means someone who matches my soul fabric. So some of the people who are complaining about their relationships, that's their soulmate. We want to we can say the ideal soulmate.
They say, no way, that's not my soulmate. Right. They're driving me crazy.
right. But at an earlier point, sometimes, neither I or you were probably ready to communicate on the level that we are now. And so people come together, many times it's fortunate that we didn't come together when we wish we had.
Yeah. Well, they say we manifest who we are, or we attract, like attracts like. So, if you've met your soulmate, and in the beginning you were like, wow, I met my soulmate, I'm all in love, and you're all happy, and, the world's beautiful, the birds are singing on your shoulders and everything like that.
I can see that right now.
The sky is bluer than you've ever seen it, and the moon's fuller, and the sun's brighter.
And don't forget the luthiers in the background singing.
That's right. You know, you're sure you saw the animals dancing and everyone singing praises for you because you found your soulmate. And then, okay, so 3 months down the road, you're convinced you made a mistake. Or maybe a year or 10 years. Oh, no, I made a mistake. That's not my soulmate. Trust me, it is your soulmate. They just reflect back to you, and they come, and you reflect back to them. You're a mirror for each other. That the issues that needs to be addressed. They give you opportunity for what I call fine-tunement, or we can say atonement, atonement. We get to fine-tune aspects of ourselves that, you know, that are ready to, and we get that, and we can either say yes, yay, or nay. That's our choice.
And see, the thing I want to leave our brothers and listeners with also is that, well, two things. One,
I think you might have someone on line three.
Okay, all right, come on. What we want to say, we want to understand that one of the books that we have is The African American's Role in America's Spiritual Destiny, which is a textbook that you can order through the through our. How can I order that, Sister Simone? Just read for me.
You can order at Aquarius Media Inc. You can go online and order that book. It's a website that we built just to make it convenient for you. And AquariusMediaInc.com through PayPal. Or their phone numbers, you can call us directly or email us or even text us. We've got multiple ways that you can reach us and order. So you've got Basa on line three waiting for
you. I'm waiting. And the website that Sister Samara built, okay? And the other book is The Superior Aspects of Women. Okay, so those two books are on, and you can order them. Yes, brother, I see the name. What's it, brother's name? Basilai?
Basa. Uh-huh.
Okay. Pastor, okay, and what is your date of birth, brother?
Well, it's 08-0276.
Wait, you born 1976? What month?
Yeah.
August. What month? August what? August 8th?
2nd.
August 2nd. Okay, that's interesting, because right away that tells us that you're a harmony person, because anybody born on the 2nd, 11th, or the 29th comes to a 2. And they always love music. You a music lover?
Yes.
Okay. Do you play any music yet? Have you got into an instrument?
Yes. Well, I actually use my voice as an instrument. You know.
Okay. Does that mean you sing?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so August the 2nd, 1976.
Yes.
Yeah. This right now, brother, because the planet Uranus. Uranus is the planet of change, progress, freedom, and the planet Uranus is actually touching the sun in your chart and Saturn. That's really good because, you see, ordinarily you probably would describe yourself as a low-key person, kind of laid-back, conservative, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, a disciplinarian, sensitive type too?
Yeah.
Okay, so now what's happening, you see, is the planet Uranus, which deals with change, progress, and freedom, is really inspiring you to break out of whatever limitations that you find yourself, you know, that you've been in over the years, huh?
Right.
Okay, so if you find that energy moving there, be thankful for it and submit to it. Because what it's saying, even though you are a conscious being in charge of your energy cycles that you go through, you have the right, rather, you have the ability to change the cycle. In other words, somebody who wasn't spiritually conscious might act like a bat out of hell. Because this energy is hitting you in such a powerful way. I got to be free. I got to be me, right? I want to do my own thing, right?
Right, right.
Now, that doesn't mean that you have, because Uranus in your birth chart is in a powerful place, it means that, yes, you are a person who is a revolutionist, a revolutionary person who's always had the desire to bring about change, but now is even more intense. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the thing I want to mention while I'm looking at it here, too, brother, is that you see, one of the things is you can't be a revolutionary in many. Well, Gandhi did it. Gandhi was a diplomatic revolutionary. But in many instances, you may find yourself not wanting to rock the boat because you like peace and harmony. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but the thing you want to do this year is to really not be so concerned about who doesn't approve of what you're doing, as long as it's in tune with spiritual laws and principles. You got me?
Right.
You should be finding yourself even more having more dreams and meaningful dreams than you would usually be having. Okay?
Right.
One of the things that you want to do, you do identify yourself as being a disciplinarian. Discipline.
A what?
A person who enforces discipline.
Yeah, I'm into that very hard, yeah.
Okay, very hard. No, back up. We got 2 minutes to go. Back up, okay, and realize that other people can't. That doesn't mean because you can do it, it doesn't mean other people can do it, okay? So this is
right.
I have to go now. We got 2 minutes before we go off the air. So hopefully you'll give a ring. Our number 404-441-7248. 404-441-7248 or 310-920-4. Go ahead.
310-920-4572, I think.
Oh, okay, good. We've got another 8 minutes to tap.
We've got until 6 minutes. 6 o'clock.
Oh, great, yeah. Fantastic. Okay, so.
No, until 6, 3
right,
minutes.
Right. Okay, so, dear brother, the other thing I want to share. What thing I want to share with you, sir? Hello, brother?
Right. Yes. Yeah, I'm still listening.
Is that you're a very fortunate person. All your life, you've seen that to be the case, right?
To be what?
You're very fortunate. You're very fortunate
yeah.
All your life. Okay, so the thing, you don't want to take that for granted, but you also want to curb your tendency to be too generous. Generous to people in such, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Okay, but the thing you want to do, brother, you see, is you want to use generosity with, beg your pardon, with intelligence. Because sometimes we help people who really need to be, that pain that we rescued them from is just the optic that they needed to shock them into getting together. Okay? You got
right,
me?
Right.
So just remember, thank you for calling in. I think we may have someone else on the line. The other thing, yeah, so call back, you have the numbers. So realize
yeah,
now, this is your revolution of change, okay? This is
okay.
It.
Yeah.
All right? I'll thanks for calling.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, brothers and sisters, we now have 5 minutes left.
Gabri.
Yes, ma'am.
Minister, I'm like, you've got 2 minutes left.
Okay, see, I'm getting two signals here because one line is saying to six. Okay, all right, no time. Is that you just you said that? All right, anyway, I am a little bit not clear. Okay, Doug, how much time do we have left? Are we off?
Well, the 8 minutes was a few
wait, 30 seconds. Okay, listen, thank you very much, Sister Samara. Thank you very much, Doug and Don and our listening audience. God bless you. Have a wonderful, reflective Memorial Day, what's left of it. And yes, Sister Samar, you had a closing two seconds to say.
You just did a wonderful, fantastic job.
And you did.
Oh, I would like to, in closing, remember Vivian Natch, who was also a surrogate mom to me at some times. She's been a wonderful lady who truly lived the golden rule, do unto others as you have done unto you. So we just like to send a high out to our family and acknowledge her as she makes a journey to begin a new life.
Thank you very much. God bless.